Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
You should be jealous of me because I just took like a 2-hour nap and it was phenomenal.
I know. I was texting you saying, hey, aren't we supposed to talk tonight?
I was in a coma. It was great.
There's no answer. I called you twice and then my wife's like, I hope he's okay.
You know what's weird? No one ever calls. During this 2-hour nap, I had like 6 missed calls. I don't have 6 calls in a week.
The Skip and Josh podcast is on now.
Hey, Josh, how's it going?
Hey, Skip. It's nice to be in your studio here in Montreal. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change in that, like, I'm not calling you, you're not calling me. And we actually, like, we can go behind the scenes for the listeners. We really didn't even know how to start the show. We just kind of hit record and didn't really know how to begin.
And now we're literally going to be fighting over the microphone because now there's only one microphone and 2 of us.
Yeah. Well, that tends to happen a couple times a year. I haven't figured out like a proper way to like get 2 of us in the same room. But so today's the big day.
Yeah, today is the big year-end episode where we do the best of 2017.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've been doing all my research. We've got our crack staff researching all the best stuff of 2017, trying to figure out, you know, what's the best team? What's the best play? Who's the ultimate MVP? You know, all that great stuff, the same kind of stuff that we did last year. We have a few new categories that we're going to add in, right?
We've streamlined the categories. So there's no, we've taken away all the fat and it's only the good categories now.
Okay. Is that what we did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We stripped away all the fat.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, we should just do, because, you know, tomorrow's Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And even though this is going to be released, who knows when, we should do our World Junior preview. So here it is. I think Canada has a good team.
Canada's solid. Yeah. They could go all the way.
They have their goalie from last year.
Yeah.
They have Victor Mete, who is an NHL defenseman.
Yeah.
So what more do you need?
I really don't know anybody on their team, really. I just know a few guys and don't know anybody on the other teams. But the beauty of the tournament, that World Junior tournament is you could start watching on Boxing Day and you just get right into it right away. Mm. And, you know.
And there's an outdoor game this year.
Yeah.
Canada-USA.
Yeah, I think that's
where the Bills play.
Yeah. All right, so without further ado, let's start the awards. Team of the year.
So this is one that I didn't research, actually.
Right. I mean, it's tough, right? Because you have some great teams. You have the Golden State Warriors, who signed Kevin Durant and basically had no margin for error. It was win a championship or it's all a failure, and they won the championship, right?
Yeah.
You have the New England Patriots, the biggest dynasty we've seen in football in maybe our lives, right? They're always good. They came back from a 28-3 halftime deficit to win the Super Bowl. That's pretty good. You have the Houston Astros. What a great story in baseball, right? Winning the World Series. And you have the Pittsburgh Penguins. Back-to-back Stanley Cups, which is a very underrated accomplishment, right? Back-to-back Stanley Cups hasn't happened in how long, right?
I think since Pittsburgh did it last time, right?
Or maybe the Wings in the mid-90s at a certain point. I think the Red Wings may have done it. But
maybe.
Yeah. But it's a very, very underrated accomplishment there. So, I mean, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You know what? I'll go first, I guess. And so I've already just made up my mind as you were listing all those nominees that I'm going to pick as the best team, the Houston Astros.
Here's a ground ball right side. Could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
And the reason I'm going to pick them as the best team is because, I mean, with the New England Patriots, that wasn't really a surprise. I mean, yes, it was a surprise when they were down by 25 in the third quarter, but a lot of people said all season long that they would win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the Golden State Warriors. That certainly wasn't a surprise because they were supposed to win it all. And I don't think the Penguins were a surprise either. But Houston, if you recall, just I think 3-4 years ago, they had like 100 losses or something. And
they had 100 losses, I think, 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here they are, and it's still a relatively young team. And I wouldn't say they came out of nowhere, but they had an amazing regular season, and they had an amazing postseason. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that they can actually somehow keep their team together, because I worry that once all these guys become free agents, they're going to have to trade them or let them go or whatever. So my best team of 2017 is the Houston Astros.
It's a hard pick to argue with. Like, I think it's completely valid. I love all your points. But I don't know. To me, I think I'm going to go with, and I'm also, I think I talked myself into it in my lead up to this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors.
There it is. Redemption for Golden State. One of the great playoff runs of all time is complete. The Warriors are NBA champions again.
And I know we're both not huge NBA guys, and we don't talk that much NBA on the show. I think the fact that they signed Durant, they had a target on their back the whole season, and it was, you have to win the championship or the whole thing is a failure. And Durant became public enemy number one. Everybody hates the Warriors. My son was a Warriors fan. Remember we went to see the Raptors and the Warriors before the Warriors were really that good? And now him and all his friends, who are all big NBA guys, right? They all hate the Warriors because they feel like they're the front runners, right? Mm-hmm. But they were the front runners and they backed it up, right? And they beat their nemesis, the Cavs. And, you know, now we'll see what happens again. You know, they'll probably meet up again in the finals. We'll have a Warriors-Cavs part, whatever it is, 4-3. I don't know.
Although the Houston Rockets may have something to say about that.
That's true. So I think my team of the year from 2017 is the Warriors. But we talked about this a little bit in the lead up. Best play. I don't know if you had one or not, but
You go first on this one.
I mean, for me, it was hard. Last year, I put this category in last year because there was one play that was like, it was so obvious. It was the game-winning shot in the NCAA championship game, Villanova, right?
Right.
I mean, when does a championship game end on like a buzzer beater? So obviously that's the best play, right? Like, it's like, it was like, to me, it was like almost like a no-brainer. So this year was a lot harder because, you know, you watch all the highlight shows and you like, there's a million amazing catches. There's a million amazing goals. There's a million amazing saves every week.
There's a million bicycle kicks in soccer.
Right. So, I mean, every week there's all kinds of stuff like great, great, amazing plays, crazy catches in the NFL. And so there wasn't really anything that jumped out. And then when I started thinking about it, I realized, oh, okay, I think I know what the best play is. It's Julian Edelman's catch in the Super Bowl.
Here's Edelman broken up, and the pass is no sign yet. Edelman comes down with a football, and they're saying it's a catch. And we'll get another look at this. Alford knocked it up into the air, and let's see who comes down with it. Oh, that's a catch. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
And, like, obviously, we're going to talk more about the Super Bowl, I think, as we get into some of the other awards. But that catch that he made, where it was, like, it was almost impossible that it didn't hit the ground. I don't know how he even caught it. And then, as soon as you saw the play, you're like, of course, that's not a catch. And then as soon as you saw the replay, you were like, oh, wow, that is a catch. And then, I don't know if you saw, I mean, I know you saw because we talked about it, but like after the Super Bowl, they had like the mic'd up stuff and you know, the defensive back jumps right up and he's like, that's no catch. And Edelman's like, look at the scoreboard. I got it. And then the guy's like, no, you didn't catch it. He goes, I swear to God, I got it. It's like, they're having like a real conversation, not like animosity. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, I caught it. I'm telling you, I caught it, you know? And then of course he did catch it. It was just an incredible catch and the circumstances of the comeback. Right? Like
that, you know? Catch reminded me of the catch when the New York Giants won the Super Bowl, where the guy caught it on his helmet.
David Tyree.
Yes. It reminded me a little bit of that one. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was an excellent catch. And yes, it was an important game. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, I can't argue with that choice, but I'm going to argue with that choice because in a not as important football game in the Canadian Football League, Chris Carter's son, Duron, made this amazing catch against the Argos.
Looking for Carter, jump ball! Oh, what a catch! Did you see that? Touchdown! We may have a new catch of the year.
I bet you none of our listeners have seen that catch or the game or even know who Duron Carter is.
Right.
But Google Duron Carter catch as a member of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, not as a member of the Alouettes. And it was just a phenomenal catch. I think it was even better than the Odell Beckham Jr. catch that everyone talks about for the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, you just, full disclosure, you just showed this to me before we started recording, and I was like, wow. I mean, he literally, like, he just plucks the ball out of midair with one hand,
right?
And
he has to reach back with his wrong arm.
Yeah.
Like, if I had done that, I would have dislocated my shoulder if I had done that.
Right, right. So I'll put a link to it on our website because I think it's worth seeing. And like you said, like the CFL is like, I mean, we're Canadian and I know a lot of our listeners are Canadian, but I don't think the CFL gets any love and it doesn't, we really don't give it much attention. Like, right. And with good reason, you know, we're just not into it, right? But that certainly is a deserving catch.
By the way, speaking of Daron Carter, I don't know if you know that at the end of the season when, I mean, the Riders, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders did make the playoffs, but at the end of the season, I guess the Riders had a bunch of injuries and Daron Carter played a few games on defense and actually, right. And actually did well.
He's a tremendous football player. When he was on the Alouettes, I always felt like they sometimes used him on special teams, right? Not as the returner, just like on special teams because he was a great tackler, open field tackles. Like he's a football player. Like he could do anything in the game of football, but he's also the biggest head case you've ever seen. And teams literally kicked him off. Like the Alouettes actually kicked him off the team. And then the same thing happened again, I think, in Saskatchewan. They just said, we don't want you anymore.
No, he's still on the Riders. Still he's still okay. On the Riders. Yeah. And yes, the Alouettes did kick him off the team, but it didn't do them any good because they had their worst season ever. They could have used a guy like Daron Carter.
Yeah. You don't get better by getting rid of your most talented players, right? Right. Yeah. All right. So a hotly contested category coming up. The MVP of MVPs. So Basically our version of like, who was the most outstanding player in any sport this year? Right? There's a lot of considerations. You want me to go over like...
Yeah, go over the nominees because I still haven't picked mine.
So in baseball, you have Jose Altuve or Giancarlo Stanton, who were the regular season MVPs. And you have... I think we're going to consider the playoff MVPs part of it because the playoff games are so important. So George Springer clearly had a great playoff. I think you could even include Justin Verlander in there in the conversation if you wanted to because of the important role he played in the Astros championship. In hockey, you had McDavid, who was the regular season MVP. And then I think Sidney Crosby needs to be considered based on the playoff performance. And then in football,
your favorite nickname of all time.
Yeah, I know. I had to ask you like, who was the MVP in the NFL last season? And it was Matt Ryan. I mean, you can consider, we're counting 2017, so certainly regular season games in the NFL, you can talk about people if you wanted to, but, you know, I don't think it's tough to figure out, you know, where to draw the line for the NFL.
Actually, yeah, Matt Ryan was the MVP last year.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if we should count him.
No, I mean, we should count like playoff performances in the NFL.
Playoff performances or regular year, season.
Carson Wentz or whoever.
Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or...
Todd Gurley.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. But NFL's tough because, like you said, like the playoffs and the Super Bowl are going to be in 2018, right? So we don't know what's going to happen yet there. There's also Tom Brady to consider, you know, winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then in the NBA, like I said, we had Kevin Durant on the Warriors who dominated the playoffs. And then if you really want to go there, Russell Westbrook, I mean, I think a lot of people that voted Russell Westbrook for MVP of the league last year are kind of regretting it because... It was Harden-Westbrook, that was the discussion. And now, just 1 year later, this season, Westbrook's a shell of himself because he only needs to do everything on his own. He can't play with other teammates. And James Harden has lifted his game even higher than it was, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, this is this year, and that was last year. So if you thought he was the best player last year, just because he's having a not as good season this year, that doesn't mean you should change your mind for what you decided a year ago.
Yeah, okay.
So I have no issue with Westbrook winning the MVP. You know, as far as I'm concerned, when you're picking an MVP, whatever league, whatever sport, I say you cover up the names, look at the numbers, and whatever guy has the best numbers, that's it. I don't care if his team won the championship or if they finished in last place. I don't care.
Right. So do you have your pick for the ultimate MVP?
Well, I'm going to go back to Houston and I'm going to pick Jose Altuve.
The 1-1. Ball belted to left. That ball's got a chance. Make it three. Are you kidding me, Altuve? Three home runs. That's an MVP.
I don't really like to pick someone who had a good month, like a good playoff run, because that's just one good month. So a guy like George Springer, yes, he had a great October, don't get me wrong. And he had a good regular season too, but it's a small sample size. And same thing with Durant in the playoffs. Yeah, okay, the NBA playoffs are 2 months, but still I prefer to pick someone who was consistent over the course of a full season.
Right, but when you have a guy like Altuve, who I don't know what his batting average, we can look it up, he basically hit like 350, right? Means he had a great year start to finish, right?
Right, and he had to do part of that without... without Carlos Correa in the lineup, who missed at least a month at one point. Mm-hmm. But during that month, Altuve was still hitting and was almost carrying the team. Mm-hmm. So, and they did have a great regular season. And he wasn't exactly, you know, it's not like he didn't show up for the playoffs. He was good in the playoffs too. Right. So I'm going to go with Jose Altuve as my MVP of MVPs.
Okay. I think for my pick, I'm torn between a couple, and I'm going the opposite way of you. I'm picking guys that had great regular seasons, but also elevated their games in the playoffs. So I think I'm going to go with Sidney Crosby.
It's the hardest trophy in all of sports to win. It's the captain's honor to hoist the Stanley Cup. Sidney Crosby, come on back.
Again, he's like almost the most underrated superstar. You take for granted how great he is every year. Mm-hmm. Right? He's just every year, he's so good, right? And it seems like so long ago that he had to sit out almost that whole year for his concussions, and he's back, and he's just so consistent all the time. And the fact that they won their second straight Stanley Cup, basically, you know, with their, I know he's their number one goalie, but like a goalie that no one really respected, a defense that was completely patchwork. Like, I don't know how they won, the Penguins.
Was Hal Gill on that team?
No, but Ron Hainsey was.
Oh, sorry, yes. Hal Gill was on the team 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know how they won it, but they did. And yes, there's a lot of great players. There's Evgeny Malkin, there's Phil Kessel. You know, they've got a whole bunch of stars, right? But they had a ton of injuries, and, you know, Crosby won the Conn Smythe again, And, you know, winning back-to-back Stanley Cups, I think, and being the captain of the back-to-back winning team, I think, is, you know, a huge accomplishment. So
I'm going to compare Sidney Crosby to somebody, an athlete, who isn't even on this list, who we haven't even mentioned, mm-hmm. and that's LeBron James. Because LeBron James could actually win the NBA MVP every single year, and you couldn't even argue if he did. But I think writers and voters are tired of voting for him because he's just so good and does it all the time that they vote for somebody else. And similar thing happens in hockey where, you know, Crosby had a great season, but everyone voted for McDavid because he was the shiny new toy in town.
100%. You're 100% right.
So,
because, you know, the NBA MVP is so much about, and it's more in the NBA, I find, than other sports, but other sports have the same kind of effect happening. Is like, it's the shiny new toy, like you just said. Like, of course LeBron James is the best player in the league.
Of course
he's better than anybody else. He's better than Russell Westbrook. He's better than Curry, who won the MVP the year before. There's no doubt in anybody's mind. Anybody who watches the sport knows this guy's the best player in the league. But they don't want to vote him the MVP every year because it's too boring, right? They have to find a new story. They have to find a new narrative. They have to find the shiny new toy. I mean, the classic example in the NBA, which is like the worst thing, is that Karl Malone won the MVP of the league 1 year over Michael Jordan. And that was like at the height of Michael Jordan, right? You know? And that's just ridiculous. You know? Yeah. Yeah, Karl Malone was a great player, you know? But like, Karl Malone couldn't dribble the ball. You know, like, he was the classic power forward, went to the free throw line 20 times a game, you know, used all his power and muscle. Like, that's what he was about. But like, he's not Michael Jordan, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense.
What happens is, When writers and voters are looking at LeBron stats or Sidney Crosby stats or Michael Jordan stats, they're not comparing their stats to the other players in the league of that season. They're comparing their stats to that same player's stats from the year before or 2 years earlier or 3 years earlier. Yeah, so like, oh yeah, Michael Jordan had a phenomenal season. He blew everyone away. But compared to his like 2003 season or his 2002 season or his 1999 season,
what does it matter, right?
You know, he was no good compared to that. So I'm not voting for him.
Okay.
And I don't even know if Jordan played in 1999 or 2003 or whatever. I'm just making up numbers.
Right. All right, best game of the year. Well, I mean, I know where you're going because you've been all about the Houston Astros so far, right?
So since everyone knows, I'm going with game two of the World Series.
That's into right center field. Well hit. Won't be caught. It is gone for a home run. George Springer goes deep, and the Astros are back
which was one of the games that went into extra innings. It was the game that went into 11 innings. And it wasn't just that it went 11 innings and that it was, you know, 5 hours long or 4 hours long or however long it was. It was the fact that, so you thought the game was over in the ninth inning and then Houston scores to tie it up in the ninth.
Off of Kenley Jansen.
Right.
Right, which we thought was unheard of.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it goes into extra innings and Houston scores two runs in the top of the 10th and you're like, okay, this game's over. It's done. But then somehow LA ties it up in the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah.
Then it goes to the 11th. Houston scores two more runs, and you're like, okay, it's done now.
And now it's really over.
Right. But no, it's not, because Los Angeles hits a homer in the bottom 11th to make it close. Now, they don't tie it up, and the game finally ends. But I remember watching the game, and I was exhausted, and all I wanted to do was go to sleep. Ugh. But I couldn't, because, like, I have to see what goes on in this game. I have to see the end of this game. And then, of course, the next day, I was like, I was not in good shape. Yeah. But I had to see what happened in this game. It was just too exciting.
The World Series was great. That game, and then game five. I mean, it reminds me so much of last year when we picked these games of the year. Last year was the World Series between the Cubs and the Indians.
Yeah.
And there was, like, that game 5, 6, 7 was all like one big blur, right?
Yeah, it was.
And now this sort of the same thing happened here with the Dodgers and the Astros, in that game 2 and game 5 were such classics. It was like, it's almost like, I mean, it seems like Puig was hitting homers every game and Springer was hitting homers every game. And like, you couldn't keep track of what was going on anymore, right?
And then actually, funny enough, so the World Series, you know, I think is always exciting.
Yeah.
The actually game 7, the deciding game, was like the worst game of the series.
Yeah.
It was like 5-1, and it was pretty much, it was 5-0 after the second inning and nothing else happened.
Yeah.
So game 7 was anticlimactic, but the series as a whole was fantastic, and game 2, in my opinion, was fantastic.
Right. My game of the year, I'm going to go a different direction, was the Super Bowl.
Toss to right.
And the Super Bowl rarely lives up to the hype of the game. It's usually not a good game. It's usually not that exciting. Often it's a blowout. And for one half of football, it was a huge blowout. And we were at a Super Bowl party like everybody else was. And I was in disbelief. Oh my God, the Falcons. What the hell? They're destroying the Patriots. What's going on? You know, like, I couldn't believe it. And then second half, there was like the tide was turning a few plays, and then we talked about it ad nauseum at the time. You know, the Falcons ran some terrible plays, horrible play calling. Matt Ryan takes a sack at the only time where he couldn't have took a sack. You know, if he just throws the ball away, who knows what happens? And it was just a sequence of events that leads to the where you're like, at one point I was there watching with our friends, and I was like, the Patriots are winning this game. You know, the Patriots are winning this game.
Well, Jeannie Bouchard was so confident that the Falcons were going to win that she, you know, put on Twitter that if the Falcons lose, I'll go on a date with one of my Twitter followers.
Right.
And she ended up having to do it.
I know. I wish it was. I'm one of her Twitter followers. Like, God, why couldn't that have been me?
Well, you're married, so that's why it couldn't be you. Yeah. But it could have been me, but I don't follow her on Twitter.
Yeah. So that was my game of the year. I mean, I think it's the only Super Bowl that ever went into overtime also. So I just thought, you know, like, the Super Bowl usually gets so much hype, and then here it actually kind of lived up to it, and it gave us like the most unlikely of outcomes in terms of, I mean, obviously the Patriots winning is the most likely outcome because that's what always happens. But, you know, in the circumstances and the way it happens, right?
Yeah, everyone knows I'm not a fan of the Patriots, so this is why I haven't picked them for any of our awards. So I have some animosity towards the Patriots and especially their head coach, and so this is why I haven't picked them.
Seen the latest press conference from like not this past week, 2 weeks ago? They lost to Miami.
I missed that.
It was a doozy. he was not only, you know, he gives one word answers as usual. He looked angry and mad, and like his facial expression was, I don't want to be here. Don't ask me any questions. You know, I'm like, you shouldn't go up there.
It's predictable.
Accept the fine, pay the fine, and don't go there.
Yeah, you know? It's predictable. I mean, he doesn't like to be there even when they win, so he definitely doesn't want to be there when they lose.
Yeah, exactly. So. And a reporter asked him, do you think the players were looking ahead to next game because they were playing Pittsburgh the next game? He's like, do you think the players were looking ahead to next game? Which is like a perfectly valid question. And he basically was like, does anybody have any questions about the game? Like, that is a question about the game. Oh, my God. Anyways.
He's lucky I'm not a beat reporter because I'd rip him to shreds if I was.
You'd be on his case, right?
I would.
Yeah. All right, we're going to head into the non-sports awards now. Some of the fun stuff that we don't always talk about every week.
Part 2 of our best of 2017.
Yeah. So do you have like, we have a category called TV show. Favorite TV show, which is interesting because TV, the whole world of TV's changed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't watch that much like on-air TV, network TV. It's mostly Netflix. or stream shows or HBO or, you know, like these type of things.
I'm the only one that doesn't have Netflix. I still watch network television. I still pay for cable.
I pay for cable too, but I know. I don't know how you don't have Netflix. So did you have a favorite TV show of the year?
I do have a favorite TV show. It's not new.
Yeah.
I mentioned this as a runner-up, I think, last year.
But it's something you watched this year.
It's new to you. No, I watched it last year too.
Yeah, okay.
And it's the show that I've talked about a lot. It's called This Is Us.
There is not a single day that goes by that I don't think of the child I lost.
Go see your babies. They're excited to meet their father. I think maybe they got a good one.
It's a really good show.
And I can't watch that. It looks like a crying show. It looks too emotional. Like, I don't want to be like all like emotional watching a show like that.
It is emotional. I don't cry, but it is emotional. I think it's very well done. It's very well written. It's hard to explain if you haven't seen any episodes because they do flashbacks, so it's not just like present day. It also goes back. It's just the way it's all done. And you know, I really liked season one, and now I'm watching season two, and I think season two is even better than season one.
It's Mandy Moore, right, that's in it?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter who the actors are. It's just, it's the story is what's good about it. I couldn't name you any of the other actors in there.
You know, your show last year that you picked was The Americans. And I am looking very much forward to the upcoming season, but this past season was not good. I was so disappointed.
You know, so you said this to me because you watched the whole season before I even started watching the last season of The Americans. And then you had said to me before that you didn't like it or it wasn't good or whatever. And I watched it. And I understand why you said that. Although my argument against that is, you know, everything that happened could have actually happened in real life. And it's rare that you watch a show where what you see on television could actually happen in real life. For example, I like the show 24. 90% of the stuff that happens in 24 cannot happen in real life.
100%.
Well, the guy could go to the bathroom. That could be real.
Yeah, that could be real.
So that's what I liked about The Americans, that, yeah, it might have been a little slow. It might have been, some might call it boring, but it was real.
Yeah, so I guess that's what they were going for.
What I didn't like about that last season was that I didn't understand it. And I had to keep asking you questions because new characters would be introduced and they wouldn't even talk. Like, they wouldn't even explain to you who this is. They just sort of appear as if you're supposed to know who this is.
But that was one of the reasons why I didn't like it, because I felt like it was bad storytelling. You know, the purpose of the director of the show is like, let's tell a story, right? We're telling a story about these Russian spies, whatever. It's a crazy story, but it's a story. And it was so badly done. It was so poorly done. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a new character coming in out of nowhere. Who the hell is this guy? What's this? Who's going on? It really was complicated, right? And then they brought back Kimmy, who you hadn't seen the whole year since, you know, like all of a sudden she's back. Like,
yeah, I thought she was out of the show already, but...
Right, like, it's so, I mean, we're getting a little bit into The Americans, but,
right. Okay,
let's just say that wasn't our favorite show.
So you still haven't said what your favorite show is, I don't think.
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, my favorite show of the year, I had my number one choice all the way up until last week, and then it changed.
That's crazy.
Because last week I watched a new show. I watched all of season one, there's 10 episodes, we watched it in 3 days. It's called The Handmaid's Tale.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake.
You heard of this show?
I heard the book.
Yeah, well, it's based on a book, a 1985 novel by Margaret Atwood.
Does the show have Danish subtitles?
No, this is a legit show. So it is so good. I mean, everybody knows it's good. Like, if you read write-ups about The Handmaid's Tale, you see reviews, it's nominated for Golden Globes, it's nominated for a lot of stuff, it's got a lot of great critics' reviews, and it's extremely disturbing. Like, let me just tell you, it scared the crap out of me. It's not a horror movie. It's what they're talking about. It's like a possible future, you know? It's like, I don't want to get into it and ruin it for you, but it's kind of like 1984 in that there's this like new government and that they're controlling everything. And it's really like a little bit too close to home, you know, like with some stuff that's going on in the world, you know, like.
So is it nothing like the book?
It's exactly like, I don't never read the book. Did you read the book?
I remember reading the book and I didn't like it because I had to read it for school.
It's really messed up. Yeah, it's really messed up. It's if you're a woman, it should scare the hell out of you because it's like... Basically, women have no right. And in this future world, women are not allowed to read. They're not allowed to own books. They're not allowed to read. That's the law. you know, and there's, anyway, I don't want to get into the whole story, but okay. But it's fantastic. Now, the other show that I loved that I didn't, that got knocked out of the number one spot at the last minute is actually a Canadian show. It's CTV. It's, there was a six episode season, right? The show's called Cardinal. Now, I didn't know, it's based on some books, some mystery books, cop books, whatever. I didn't read them all. The show was fantastic. I was so captivated by those six episodes. It had me on the edge of my seat. It was really, really good. And now January 4th, season two is coming out. So I can't wait. Can't wait. I hope it's more than six episodes, although I think it's probably just going to be six again. But you know what? It's really like a good departure for CTV in that it's a Canadian show, Canadian produced show, and they kind of went all out and they really produced something really, really good. Like, I was really impressed with it, and I can't, like I said, I can't wait for the next season. So,
is The Handmaid's Tale Canadian also?
No, The Handmaid's Tale, the book is by Margaret Atwood, who is Canadian.
Right.
But the show is not. The show, actually, the show is interesting. It's the first, I mean, look, I don't want to tell you how I watch the show. It's kind of a gray area downloading, but it's a Hulu, it's produced by Hulu. So you know how Netflix has Netflix originals and Amazon has their own, some of their own original content? Well, this is actually produced by Hulu. So it's pretty cool. It was like the first show that I've seen that is that. It's in Canada, it's available on Crave TV.
So Margaret Atwood had to give permission, right?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really well done. I would recommend The Handmaid's Tale to anybody.
Since we're talking about TV shows, I saw a commercial a few weeks ago and it made me think of you. And I didn't even know this was happening, but apparently there's another season of X-Files.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing the commercials for the new season of X-Files, and I was so excited to watch the one that was on last year, or maybe it's the year before already.
Was last year, and you said you hated it.
I wish I could unwatch it. I watched it. I was so mad. I'm really mad, because it really sucked. And people tell me that they liked it, and I'm like, people who liked it, I think they're crazy, because it was really bad. And I'm actually not even going to watch the one that are coming. It turned me off so much that I'm not even going to watch the new ones that are coming out. So did you have a favorite movie? I'm going to kind of decline this category, because I really didn't see any movies this year. Like, in the theater, you know, I saw Wonder Woman. It was okay. I saw Star Wars. I thought it was average. But I really didn't see much else, you know, to be honest. So I think I'm just going to like abstain from this category. But did you see any really good movies this year that you liked?
I think I might have seen three movies at the theater.
Yeah.
And I can only name two of them because one of them was today. But the best movie that I saw in 2017 was a movie called Detroit, which is about the Detroit riots in the late 60s. And I mean, of course, I'd heard about the Detroit riots, but I didn't realize, you know, just how bad things were until I saw this movie. And likely things were actually worse than what was portrayed in the movie because, you know, Hollywood always embellishes things. It was, to me, it was a very powerful movie and also very disturbing. You use that word to describe your favorite TV show. So anyway, I'm glad I saw it, and certainly very eye-opening and very educational. And I recommend that people should see the movie if they don't know what happened in the 60s in Detroit.
Oh, very nice. Okay, great. I think I'll check it out. I mean, I have a list of movies that I kind of want to see, so I'll add that to that list. I also wanted to see Dunkirk, even the movie you saw today, which is the Darkest Hour, which I think is sort of like the same as Dunkirk, to be honest. But yeah, so I'll check that out, Detroit. I know I heard a lot of good things about it. This was a category that was very contentious last year because, despite the fact that my song of the year received tremendous airplay, everybody in the world knew it, and then you told me I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell me your song, and I never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that just goes to show you like what type of different worlds we are in musically. And I mean, you've mentioned it on the show. You listen to like kind of indie stations, you know, progressive type of rock, alternative rock. I don't know what you call it these days, but okay. So, well, do you want to go first or?
No, you go first on this one.
It's hard. Song of the year is...
Before you even tell me, so for the listeners who don't know, the Sherman household, they select their song of the summer every summer.
Yes, we do.
So what my question about the song of the summer is, not what, I don't care what the song was.
I don't even know if I know what it was this year.
I don't care what the song was, but my question is, Is this a song that you pick at the beginning of the summer and you say, this is going to be the song of the summer? Or is it a song that is selected at the end of the summer and you look back and you say, this was the song of the summer?
It's a bit of both. We pick it at the beginning of the summer. We all decide what's going to be the song of the summer based on like what's playing on the radio and what could become really popular. So we try to like project what's going to be the big, big song of the summer, right? Mm-hmm. And then often it could change, you know, because then all of a sudden that song in July explodes and in May you didn't know about it, you know, whatever. Okay. So that was a little tangent, but that's fine. So actually my song, like, look, I don't listen to like, there's no new music coming out that I listen to. I'm not like you. Like, you listen to new music. I'm listening to old music. Classic rock, older stuff, 80s, 90s, whatever. And then when I'm with my kids in the car, we're listening to Top 40, right? Or rap now. They're big into the stuff they listen to is not even on Top 40. But so I'm heavily influenced. I don't like 99% of what I hear on the radio. And then every now and then there's a song that comes on that I'm like, hey, that's a good song, right? Even though it's like on Top 40, I'm like, that's a good song. So this year, that song was Feel It Still by Portugal the Man. Now, it's interesting because you know what Portugal the Man is. It's a group that you liked because they are on the stations that you listen to.
Yeah.
And this is a song that kind of broke through, right? You know, so.
I'm just glad you didn't say Despacito.
No, that was definitely not my song. For sure not. Yeah.
But I'm surprised that, like, so last year I didn't even know the song that you picked. This year, not only do I know it, I actually like it.
But you probably heard about it months and months, maybe even a year before they started playing it on the radio, right? Until I heard about it.
Well, I don't know about a year, but I heard about it before. I remember the day you asked me in a text message, do you like this song?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'd be listening to that for months already.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, there you go. So that's my song. What about you?
So for me, it was very difficult because, as you said, I do listen to a lot of new music, and 2017 was a banner year for alternative music, or whatever you want to call the category that I listen to. And so on my drive to Montreal yesterday, I was listening to all the songs that I downloaded in 2017. And I was trying to pick one. And every time the next song would come on, I'm like, oh, this is the one. And then the next song would come on, oh, this is the one. So it was very difficult. But I finally settled on a band that Matt and Phil may like, because they're a band from Ottawa and they're called Colorado.
Oh.
And the song that I'm picking is I Got You. So hopefully you'll put a link to the video on our site and people could listen to it. I've liked this band for a while. They have a bunch of good songs. And not only is this a good song that, like, very catchy tune, but I like the lyrics and it actually is kind of funny too. So
cool. I mean, last year you picked Catfish and the Bottlemen, who I had never heard of. But since, I have heard of. And there's songs, other songs that I've heard of besides the one that you mentioned that I have grown to like. So I'll definitely check out Colorado. Other than our own podcast, do you have a favorite podcast of the year?
Well, I did try some new podcasts this year.
Mm-hmm.
But so far I'm not really thrilled with any of them. And so if I had to pick my favorite podcast of 2017, it would be the Tony Kornheiser Show, which isn't new at all. But it's I've been listening to it for years. It's a staple in my listening library.
Mm-hmm.
And on days when it doesn't come out, I feel like a ship without a rudder.
Yeah. You know, I feel the same. There's some days where I text you, I'm like, how come there's no show today? And then you're like, oh, he mentioned that he's going to be off. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I can't keep track of Tony's schedule anymore. But, like, anybody who listens to our show knows, like, how heavily we are influenced by the Tony Kornheiser Show. I mean, it's like our intro, our show clothes. I mean, we're very heavily influenced by Mr. Tony, and proud of it. Like, I think it's like we're paying homage to him in a way, you know, sometimes. But I feel the same way. But like, I can't say that that's my favorite podcast of the year, because like, I've been listening to him for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like some days it's like, I don't even like there's no originality in the show sometimes. It's like the same as the day before, you know? But you never know when there's going to be a little gem that's going to come out, right?
And usually the gem is courtesy of Super G.
Yeah.
He has the best lines on the show without question.
Yeah. So my podcast of the year, I'll stick to the sports subject. And it's like, as you know, I'm a huge Bill Simmons guy, and I'm heavily influenced by his whole Ringer network of podcasts. So the Ringer NFL show, which is actually many different shows under the same podcast, so it's not always the same host and the same guest in the Ringer NFL show, but once a week there's a show called GM Street, where they have the host Tate Frazier and the main guest Mike Lombardi, who I've mentioned to you, and anybody who's an NFL fan should be listening to Mike Lombardi. This guy is at next level in terms of his analysis, in terms of relaying the information so that like regular people like you and me can understand what he's saying, because he's at such a higher level of football. And he's just, this year he upped his game, Mike Lombardi, because he really came out with a really entertaining type of show. I told you, like, he calls Jason Garrett the clapper because all he does is sit and clap on the sidelines. He calls Brock Osweiler the heist because he stole all the money in his contract. So he has all these little nicknames that he nicknames some different people. And I just find it's entertaining, and it's incredibly informative in terms of NFL. So
okay, well, maybe I'll give it a try then.
Yeah. We had two more categories, but I don't have anything to talk about these, so I'm just going to throw them to you. This is not more of an awards, but maybe more of a little bit of a recommendation. So do you want to tell us about your favorite concert of the year?
Yes, I actually went to two concerts this year, but I'm only going to mention one. And it was the, you mentioned Catfish and the Bottlemen. That was the concert I went to, but really they were opening for Green Day. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because I saw Green Day in 2017, and I think I also saw them in 1997 or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So 20 years between concerts of the same artist. I don't think there's any other artist that I can say that about. And it was, you know, just a typically good Green Day concert. Very loud, very energetic. And it was actually an outdoor venue that I'd never been to before. And I really enjoyed it. And I went with a friend of mine, and I'm glad I went. And yeah, I mean,
what was the other concert that you went to this year?
I'd rather not say.
I don't think I went to any concerts this year, so I'm not in a position to, you know, critique them.
Okay.
And I know you wanted to, well, look, you gave me homework several months ago. Actually, it's been the summer.
Yeah.
And you told me, read this book.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it on our show.
Yeah.
And now I haven't read it yet.
Of course not.
So you wanted to give your award for best book of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like.
So funny enough, the best book of the year happens to also be the only book I read this year.
I was going to say, when you told me you wanted to do best book, I was like, did you read a book this year? Like, I read like maybe one or two books a year. Like, I'll read. Like, I read a book on a flight this year that I had. And like, every now and then, like, my wife's like, you should read this, because she reads like 3 books a week, right?
Well, I read a book to my niece last week.
Okay, but that, the little 10-pagers don't count, right? Yeah.
So anyway, my favorite book of the year, no surprise, is Up, Up, and Away by Jonah Carey.
Mm-hmm. That ball is up, up, and away! A home run for Gary Carter!
And actually, I don't know that that's the full title. I think there's more to the title than that. But you know, I've said on the show, and I've said to you, and I've said to anyone who would listen, that just reading the book was, it brought back great memories, and it made me laugh, and it made me cry, and yeah, it was just a great book all around.
Great. And you know what made it even better is, did you get it signed by Jonah Carey?
I got to meet the author, Jonah Carey, in Cooperstown, and I didn't get the book signed because I didn't bring it with me, but he did sign, I guess it's kind of like a sticker that they put on the book.
Right.
And he did
get them prepared, yeah.
Yeah, so I did get that signed.
Since you mentioned Jonah Carey and the Up, Up, and Away, I want to add a new category, another final award of the year.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you the winner, and I know you're going to agree with me.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a surprise, but I mean, you know where it's going. my favorite podcast episode of the year. Now, we had a lot of good ones, right? I mean, we had that crossover with the Semi-Intellectual Musings guys. That was amazing. But my favorite episode of the year was episode number 50, Skip and Josh Go to Cooperstown. And it's reflected in the stats. It has more downloads than most of our episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's just, it was such a great weekend. And then we just got on the phone the next day and talked about everything we did. And it's just, it's now that all our adventures in Cooperstown are there for forever. It's like it's recorded in history, you know, on the podcast.
I that was really a very fun episode to do. I'll agree with you that it was my favorite of the year. And you'll notice if you listen to it that I didn't have only good things to say about the trip, because there were some things about the trip that I didn't like at all. And now I've realized that if I'm ever going to go back to Cooperstown again, I'm not going to go on induction weekend.
No. Induction weekend, you should go once in your life if it's a player going in that it's like you're dedicated to. Like your guy. Like Tim Raines was our guy and we went, right? I would do that. I'm happy we did it. I got to do it once, but I wouldn't go again. Vladimir Guerrero gets in next year, I'm not going.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going. But that being said, I would recommend to any baseball fan to definitely go to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Just on your own time. Just go spend a couple days there, in a weekend in the city, one day at the Hall of Fame. And it's a little town just like frozen in time.
They have great fudge there.
They do, yeah. So that concludes our award show. I hope you like it.
I loved it.
You liked it? Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we could do this one every week.
Yeah, it's fun, actually. So before we sign off, remember, you can listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes at the Skip and Josh Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play. I use an app called Overcast. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, please. If you want to give us any of your take on these awards, your best team of the year, your best play, your best song, your best, your favorite movie, TV show, any of the stuff we just talked about, send us an email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Give us a tweet at skipandjosh or post on our Facebook page, and we'd be happy to like have a little conversation about it. And as always, if you want all the links to all the stuff I just mentioned, skipandjosh.com is our website.
And I think you might have mentioned this, but if you listen on iTunes, give us a review.
Yeah, review. 5 stars. Only 5 stars. All right, Cubby, great to have you in my house. We're going to go eat some Chinese food and watch some football now.
What else do you do on Christmas Day?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
The Skip and Josh podcast is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.